Please go ahead. This afternoon's conference call is now being recorded.
Jonathan, would you like me to do a roll call?
I'm sorry. Apologies. I was on mute. Good afternoon or hello and welcome to everyone to our 13th of June 2013 meeting. Yes, please, Glenn, if you could start with the roll call.
Thank you. Jeff Newman?
Yes, I'm here.
King Charles?
Present.
Jonathan Robinson?
Present.
Mason Cole?
Here.
Johar Kieran?
Here.
Fawkes Ryman is absent and he has given his proxy to Johar Kieran. Thomas Ricketts?
Present.
Zahid Jamil?
Present.
Zahid Ma- Thank you. John Berard?
I'm here.
Brian Winterfeld?
Present.
Peter Rindfors?
Present.
Oswaldo Nuova. I don't think he's on the call yet. Vosel Snowben.
Present.
Maria Farrell. I don't think she's on the call yet. Wendy Seltzer is absent and has given her proxy to Wolfgang Kleinbester. David Cake. Not on the call yet. Magali Pazello. Not on the call yet. Joy Lidicote.
Present.
Wolfgang Kleinbester. Not on the call yet. Lanrea Jai.
Bohem.
Jennifer Wolf.
Present.
Alan Greenberg, Ella Liaison.
Present.
Han-Chuan Lee, CCNSO Liaison.
Present.
I believe. Thank you, Han-Chuan. And for staff, we have apologies from David Olive. And we have on the call Marika Cornish, Julie Hedlund, Rob Hogarth, Barbara Roseman, Brian Peck, Barry Cobb, Lark Hoffman, Carlos Reyes, Derek Everard, Steve Sheng, and myself, Glenda Saint-Gervais. Have I missed anyone? May I remind you all to say your name for the transcription purposes. And thank you, Jonathan. Over to you.
Thank you, Glenn. It's Jonathan Robinson, and welcome again, everyone, to our council meeting. So my item 1.2 on the agenda is to call for any updates to statements of interest. If there are any updates, please let us know now. Hearing none, I'll seek any input or comment on the agenda. We've had a request from Jeff online to give some substantial time to item 6, which we've managed to do. Are there any other comments or input on the agenda? Thank you. Hearing none, I'll move on to 1.4, which is to note the status of the minutes from the previous meeting and commit those to the record. Moving on to item 2 then, in which we will briefly review the action lists for open items. Now, the substance of the action list is actually covered by additional items on the agenda. As far as I can see, the only item that is not covered on the action list that doesn't come up later in, on our agenda is this outstanding requirement to write a letter on behalf of the Council to Jean-Francois Baril of the Expert Working Group on Directory Services. You will notice, those of you who have been through your Council email, that I did put a draft to the Council list, and I, whilst I don't expect substantial edits, I'd very much like some form of confirmation that that's on track, because some time has elapsed since we originally planned to send it out. So any comment or input that that meets the requirements or how it should be tweaked to meet the requirements would be appreciated by me, and then I intend to send it off in short order. As for the remainder of the items on the action list, we cover all of the other items later in the agenda. So I'll pause briefly to see if there are any other comments or questions on that, and otherwise simply commit to dealing with the items later in the agenda as they come up.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Ching. Can I speak?
Ching, please do.
Thank you, Jonathan. And I'd just like to echo and to agree what's been seen on the action items regarding the letter, which we have talked about the letter in the Beijing meeting. I've sent around a kind of a rough draft. The purpose and the context of the letter was actually to get the staff, especially the staff who's in charge in the IDN issues, to have some action taken on the implementation for the IDN GTLD and also the variant delegation. It seems that the action that we are seeking for, they have picked up some items which will be some updates, and later this month there will be two webinars to be organized related to this issue. So I agree this approach that this letter may no longer necessary, but the council, however, should still keep an eye on the progress of the IDN GTLD delegation. So thanks.
Okay, so thanks, Ching. That deals with item one then, and that essentially nails that. And so, Glenn and Marike, if you're tracking this, I mean, I think what we're saying there is that the events have overtaken the need to send out a letter, but we'll keep an open action item which says council to, along the lines of council to retain a close watching brief on implementation issues relating to IDN TLDs. Thanks, Ching. Right, consistent with Jeff's request, I'm going to keep any other remarks very brief. We also have a project list which we customarily review, which is a more detailed list. I don't intend to go through that in any detail, but to simply give the council the opportunity to comment or question any updates or changes or open items on that list. So I'll pause for a moment to make sure that if anyone does have any comments or input on that list, then please fire away. All right, so we will commit that updated project list to the record. You will have seen that it was sent round to the council in both red line and clean format. I think that's a useful way of doing it, and so at least you can quickly scan the red line format and should be able to be up to date with all relevant council activity or council-related activity in the appropriate detail, as well as being aware of the more rapid action items that are covered by the action items list.
Hey, Jonathan, this is John Berard.
John, please go ahead.
I just want to make sure that Councillor saw my note yesterday or day before yesterday from the CCNSO Council meeting. Attached to it were the draft and unlikely to change comments that the CCNSO has on the cross-community working groups initiative. And so if you hadn't seen that, I would commend it to your reading.
John, your audio quality is not good, I'm afraid. I did hear that you were making reference to your email on the CCNSO and the attached item relating to cross-community working groups. I'm just not sure what action is being suggested we take. So if you could just try and repeat that, please.
I don't know if this is any better, but I just wanted to bring people's attention to the attachment to the CCNSO Council notes that I sent out 2 days ago.
Yeah, thank you, John. I support that. It was thank you on list on conference. For the comprehensive approach, it's very helpful to see exactly what's going on, and the liaison work you're doing from my point of view, and I suspect from others in the council, is much appreciated. If there are actions to be taken, please nudge us and push us, and I'll encourage the rest of the council to track that email and the thread that follows from it. Thanks, John. So hearing no other comments on either the action list or the project list, clearly we've got, I'm just going to make a couple of remarks about the remainder of our agenda. Clearly we've got a substantial item coming up in item 6, which has been put on our agenda to look at elements in and around the reconsideration request. Jeff will introduce that and we'll come to that, but I just encourage everyone to keep the discussion focused. There's some substantial issues that underlie all of that the council spent significant amount of time on in the past, and we just the proposal is on the agenda with some quite specific points to discuss, and so I'll come back to that when we talk with Jeff. The other thing that's on my mind is that as we head up to Durban, I'd really encourage councillors to be as engaged as possible on the list with elements of the agenda or any elements of substance, so that we are, we've been a little quiet, all of us on the list. And so just to, if I could ask that everyone steps up a gear in terms of their engagement with the council activity, so we're as well prepared and able to make as much out of the Durban meeting face-to-face as we can. There's been good progress, and we have meetings on scheduled with the GAC, the CCNSO, and the board, and we'll be picking up on list. I've reached out to both Steve Crocker and Heather Dryden of the ICANN board and GAC respectively, and we'll be talking with them and through the council with the kind of items we want to cover. And so really I'll contain myself to that, except to say that I think finally that the council has been a good conscience in a sense, and this is what seems to come up in item 6, as to bringing the broader community, as doing our role and bringing the broader community back to recognizing the richness of the multi-stakeholder approach and the value of it. And I think that's been appreciated, but we've also got now a golden opportunity to sort of look forward and introduce positive, forward-looking activity from the council and the kind of work that we can be kicking off. So hopefully that will be about setting an effective agenda for future council initiatives, as well as keeping an eye out on where things are going wrong. All right, let's move on to the next item. Let me just check this room. Maria certainly has had trouble with the audio. I'm assuming that no one else is having difficulties, and hopefully in calling out to Maria, we will resolve that. Next item on our agenda is what I hope will be a relatively straightforward motion, which is to adopt the proposed modification of the GNSO operating procedures. So, Wolf Ulrich, as the maker of the motion, if you could proceed to present the motion to the council, please.
Yes. Thank you, Jonathan. So, the motion is about, as you talked about, the deadline for the submission of reports and motions to the council, and I'm reading just the resolve, because we have discussed that before, and the resolve is important, I think. The GNSO Council adopts the revised GNSO operating procedures, including the clarification of the deadline for the submission of reports and or motions. See, and the link is provided. And secondly, resolved, the GNSO Council instructs staff to update any other sections in the GNSO operating procedures that are related to the submission of reports and or motions to ensure that these are consistent with the new provision that reports and motions should be submitted to the GNSO Council for inclusion on the agenda as soon as possible, but no later than 23 hours and 59 coordinated universal time, UTC, on the day, 10 calendar days before the General Council meeting. So that's a motion, and I would like to add, especially to the second paragraph of this resolve, that includes all GNSO operating procedures related reports, including also the PVP. So that is what staff has to look at as well. So that's it.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. Those of you that will remember that this came up in the run to Beijing, and it's something we've referred to the Standing Committee on Improvements, and it's really a tidying up of existing procedure. Are there any comments or discussion points on this motion? Hearing none and seeing no hands raised in the chat room, I propose that this requires a simple majority of both houses, and I propose that we move to take a voice vote on this. So if I could ask all those in favour to please say yes now.
Yes.
Is there anyone who is not in favour of the motion? Is there anyone who would like to abstain from the motion? Thank you all. So, Glenn, the motion is then carried unanimously.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. I just want to note that Wolfgang Kleinwächter, I don't think, was on the call at the time of the motion. We are dialing out to him, but he's in a car. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn. Item 5 is the second motion on the agenda for the Council today, and this is the initiation of a policy development process on translation and transliteration of contact information. It was something which was deferred at our previous meeting, and is now a motion that we should vote on. So given that we have seen the motion before, I suggest, Ching, that you simply bring us to the resolved clauses in making the motion. So
sure.
Thank you, Ching.
So the resolved, the GNSO initiates a PDP on the issues defined in the final issue report, C-Link, on the translation and transliteration of contact information. A working group will be created for the purpose of fulfilling the requirements of the PDP. The GNSO requests staff to commission a study on the commercial feasibility of translation or transliteration systems for internationalized contact data, which is expected to help inform the PDP working group in its deliberations.
Thank you, Ching. We'll proceed now to hear any discussion or comments on the motion, and I see I have Petter's hand up in the connect. So, Petter, fire away.
Thanks. Well, just for good order. First of all, I thank Xander for the updated info I recently got, and although I know that even if it's mentioned that the expert working group has consistently reiterated that the outcome of this work shall be subject to a formal PDP, I've still not seen any official communication about that. But I also know that the expert working group is almost concluding its draft report and that will be presented to the community at the Durban meeting. So in short, I see and obviously see no reason to vote anything else than yes and acceptance.
Thank you, Petter, for that comment. Did you see my draft letter to the expert working group on the list for which I'm seeking affirmation and confirmation that that is what we intended originally, especially as events have developed?
Was that the latest When did you send it?
Within 24 hours ago, approximately.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, good. That will go off, I hope, later today, conditional on no significant objections or challenges from within the council. Any other comments or input on this motion? Thank you. Glenn, if you could call, if you could take a roll on this, please.
I'll do that for you, Johnson. John Barras?
Yes.
Also, Liz Knobin?
Yes.
Wolfgang Kleinbechter for Wendy Salter.
Yes, and I have to apologize. I was in a traffic jam and I'm late, so I missed the discussion and the decision on the previous motion. I don't know whether we I can add my voice and vote later or how to proceed. I'm very, very sorry for this. But in this case here, for motion under item 5, my vote is yes.
Thank you, Wolfgang. Maria Farrell?
I vote yes.
Joy Lady Kurt? Joy, are you on mute?
Do you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
I vote yes, thank you.
You vote yes. Benjamin?
Yes. Hi, Glenn, yes, yes.
Jeff Newman?
Yes.
Lanraya Jai?
Yes.
Thomas Ricker?
Yes.
Mason Cole?
Yes.
Brian Winterfeld?
Yes.
Osvaldo Nova? Osvaldo is not on the call, I believe, so he will be noted as absent. Joyce Karen?
Yes.
King Chow?
Yes.
Jonathan Robinson?
Yes.
Peter Rindfors?
Yes.
Wolfgang Kleinbechter for yourself?
Yes.
Magali Zello?
Yes.
Volker Greimann, who is absent, and Joachim Kieran, will you please vote for him as you have his proxy?
Yes.
David Cate?
Yes.
Have I left anyone off? The motion passes. Almost unanimously, there was one person absent in the non-contracted party house. 7 votes in favor in the contracted party house, and 11 votes in favor in the non-contracted party house.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Wolfgang, for your apology earlier. And just for the record, the previous motion was carried. So moving on then to item 6, which is a substantial item put on the agenda by Jeff Newman, and Jeff's requested that he have the opportunity to present that. I'm happy to defer to him and let him introduce the topic. So Jeff, please go ahead with item 6, a discussion item on the reconsideration request from the non-commercial stakeholder group relating to the decision on the trademark clearinghouse. Jeff.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yep.
A little soft, Jeff. It's clear, but a little soft.
Okay, I'll try to speak up a little bit. So I want to apologize in advance because I'm going to read some of these. I've actually tried to prepare some remarks, and then I'll actually send this around to the group after this topic. So I just want to reiterate something Jonathan had said earlier. The purpose of this discussion is not to address the substance of the trademark plus 50 proposal or to discuss whether ICANN followed the appropriate process in coming to that decision. And I don't want this topic to be taken as a desire to interfere with the ultimate decision of the Board Governance Committee to uphold the trademark plus 50, but the purpose of bringing this up is really to address the what a number of us view as the overly legalistic, aggressive, and flawed rationale used by the Board Governance Committee to justify this decision. Many of us believe, and I've talked to a number of people on the council offline, that if this rationale is allowed to stand and ultimately set precedent, that the GNSO's role in the multi-stakeholder model, and in fact the role of the entire community, internet community, the role that they play in ensuring the stable and secure operation of the internet's unique identifier systems will have effectively come to an end. Instead, there'll be a movement, or this movement to a system in which those employed by ICANN, the corporation and its board of directors, can act unilaterally without any meaningful checks and balances. So I want to first address kind of the positive of how this the positive of how this could have been decided and how this probably wouldn't have been such a big issue with most of us. So that, as many of you know, the standard for reconsideration is that any person may bring a request for reconsideration of, or review of an ICANN action or inaction to the extent that he or she has been adversely affected by one or more staff actions or inactions that contradict established ICANN policies, or one or more actions or inactions of the ICANN board that have been taken without consideration of material information. I do want to pause for a second and just say that the bylaws have actually been amended, and in fact they were amended officially, I think it was 6 days before this reconsideration request was filed, but for some reason we're still using the December 2012 bylaws as opposed to the April bylaws for this reconsideration request. So there's a couple, there's some wording that has changed, but essentially most of it's pretty much the same. And I believe that the board could have just said that there's no established policy with respect to this issue that was brought up. And, you know, some wouldn't have been happy with that decision, obviously, but most likely we wouldn't be here discussing this issue at this point in time. But the board did not just say that there's no established, or I should say the BGC, not the board. They didn't say that there is no established policy. Instead, they used this as an opportunity to make a statement on how they really view the multi-stakeholder model and who ultimately controls the policies and decisions that are made. It's also worth noting in the new section of the bylaws, section 2.15, now affirmatively states that board governance committee determinations are final and are intended to establish precedent for future actions. So it's not like this is a offhand one, you know, one-off decision. The bylaws now officially state that whatever was decided here is going to set precedent for the future. So what does the Board Governance Committee, in my view, do wrong here? Well, first, I want to just say that there's really a lack of respect shown to the party that brought the request for reconsideration. The Board Governance Committee uses a litigious and disrespectful tone throughout the entire decision. The BGC uses common litigation terms like, well, in support of their argument, or declares the party defending the action, or declares that their arguments are, quote, without merit. And these are very common if you're in litigation. These are very common litigation tactics intended to undermine the credibility of your opposing party. But this really should never be language used by the ICANN board in dealing with any one of its institutional structures, no matter who that is. It's okay for the Board Governance Committee to disagree with the position that's raised, but I don't think it's okay to use this as an opportunity to mock or undermine those who have volunteered so much of their time, energy, and resources defending ICANN's very existence, purpose, and mission of ICANN. Board Governance Committee also dismisses arguments by the non-commercial stakeholder group by engaging in a legalistic wordplay. They say things like, well, yeah, the staff said that it could be considered policy, but, you know, saying something, quote, could be policy is not really saying that it is policy. So, you know, look, it's clear to the world what was meant when that statement was made by the CEO, if the CEO makes a mistake in making a statement, let's own up to it. Let's be responsible. Let's tell the world, oh, look, I made a mistake when I made that statement. Make a correction and move on. Don't engage in a legalistic debate as to what, you know, the term could be actually means in order to try to rewrite history. We should expect more from an entity that's charged with protecting the public interest. I want to turn to the merits now and what some of the problems, at least in my view, are. I think the first problem is that despite not being essential to the decision of whether the ICANN action was in contravention to existing policy, there's a large focus on whether what it was in fact policy or implementation of an existing policy. Rather than stating that the non-commercial stakeholder group was unable to show a violation of existing policy and really ending the debate there, it states that if anything, it states that the ICANN action, even if the ICANN action contravened a previously existing, sorry, let me go back a step here, let me get this right here. It basically states that the ICANN action may have contravened a previous implementation of a policy, and therefore, since that's not policy itself, then that's okay. And we believe that there's a number of flaws with that. First, the recommendation assumes, which we believe wrongly, that if ICANN action involved implementation of existing policy, then there's really no need to follow any sort of multi-stakeholder process. In fact, if it's implementation, the Board Governance Committee asserts that ICANN staff and the board is basically free to act however it sees fit. And, of course, who is the ultimate arbiter of whether something's implementation policy or policy? The ICANN staff and board, and there's no mechanism for appealing, there's no mechanism for challenging, and there's no checks and balances on that. So stated differently, if the ICANN staff or board believe that something is implementation, no one can challenge that assertion. There's no obligation for ICANN staff or board to listen to the GNSO or even the community for that matter. And we believe that this is wrong. And for this reason, we believe that the rationale needs to be struck from the entire decision. Even if something is implementation, that should not be a reason to circumvent the multi-stakeholder model. It's true that different processes and procedures may be applied, but that doesn't mean that you should be free to ignore the rest of the community, who, by the way, may have much more experience and knowledge in the subject matter than the staff or even the board. Second problem is with respect to the role of the GNSO, and this is really where I think we need to pay some attention. With respect to the role of the GNSO, the Board Governance Committee essentially argues that if the GNSO acts or takes any position in a manner outside of a formal policy development process, there's nothing that requires the ICANN board or staff to adopt that action. And technically, you know, that's true. But it goes even further than that. And it states that even if staff or the board act in direct contravention to a GNSO act or position that's outside of a formal PDP, there's not even a requirement that the board even consults with the GNSO. So if the GNSO goes through its bottom-up processes and takes a position or gives advice, and we all know how hard that is sometimes, the Board Governance Committee states that the board is free to completely ignore that advice without even engaging in any dialogue with the GNSO. And just to remind everyone, according to the bylaws, the GNSO is the body that's responsible for developing and recommending to the ICANN board substantive policies relating to generic top-level domains. The GNSO should not allow this to stand, even if what the BGC is legally, technically correct in accordance with their current bylaws. There's no reason why we should not have been afforded or be afforded the same treatment and respect as the GAC gets when they recommend policy or they give advice to the board, whether we give this advice to a formal PDP or not. We've taken great lengths, and as the chair of the PDP working group for a number of years, we spent a long time discussing the fact that the GNSO should be able to act without using a policy development process. And while it's true there's a different standard that's applied by the board, if it's outside of a PDP, that doesn't mean that the ICANN board or staff should be free to completely ignore what the GNSO has to say. And this is why I've recommended, and many of you have seen this email, that the GNSO propose to the ICANN board a change to the bylaws requiring that the ICANN board, at a minimum, consult with the GNSO, again, that's the body under the bylaws responsible for developing and recommending substantive policies related to GTLDs. If the ICANN board is going to take an action that is not consistent with a documented GNSO action statement, advice, or position, if it does take that act that's in contravention, that it must consult with the GNSO. Look, due to time, there's a number of other flaws in this decision. I'm sure they'll get brought up by others on this call. But due to time constraints, I just, you know, this is what I'm formally asking for. I would ask to the ICANN board that even if, or here I guess it's the new GTLD program committee, even if you adopt the ultimate outcome of the BGC's recommendation to reject the reconsideration request, you throw out completely this rationale. To the GNSO Council, I'd ask us to move forward with making our views known to the board and to formally recommend changing the bylaws to respect the GNSO's role within the ICANN structure and to respect the multi-stakeholder model. And to the Accountability Transparency Review Team, I'd ask them to review the accountability measures, including the reconsideration process, which I believe to date has demonstrated that it's a meaningless accountability mechanism. In the last 10 years, there have been 15 decisions. All have denied reconsideration. There was one incident where they denied reconsideration but ultimately made a change to the bylaws, and it had to do with the timing of the posting of minutes. But other than that, there's nothing even remotely representing a granting of a reconsideration request, and even that was not granted. All a reconsideration looks at is whether a process was followed or if an action contravenes an existing policy. But I ask the council and I ask the board that what if the board or ICANN staff on the substance just plain get something wrong? There's absolutely no review, no accountability, no challenge mechanisms, and no checks and balances. So I guess that's my presentation for now. I'll send around these notes, but I really think and firmly believe that this is something that we need to speak up on. We need to ask for this rationale to be thrown out, even if the ultimate outcome is maintained, and we need to reassert our role in the multi-stakeholder process.
Jeff, it's Jonathan in my capacity as chair. So thank you for a coherent and clear presentation. And I think you've laid the scene out very clearly. I think what I have heard you propose on the back of those arguments is essentially two outputs, one to the board stating the position of the GNSO in and around this rationalization and the flaws as you in the arguments presented, and second, a communication with the ATRT2 team on the reconsideration process. So I'd encourage councillors to now come in on both any views or support or comments or questions on these, and in fact the agenda in many ways puts these into the two separate boxes. So it would be quite useful if you make it known that, you know, obviously stating your name as you would normally do, but also that you are, if you are responding to point one or two under item six, so that would be helpful. Does anyone have anything to add, even if it is just simply in support of the proposal that Jeff has put to the council? I've got Maria's hand up, followed by John. So let's go first,
Jonathan,
to you, Maria, and then I've got John in the queue and others joining.
Yes, Jonathan, it's Wolf speaking. I'm out of Adobe. May I get in a queue?
Yes, please. It looks like you've come in then, as far as I can see, after Thomas Rickett.
Demir also, if I could be in the queue as well. Thanks, Jonathan.
That's Zahid, is it?
That's right, it's Zahid, yes.
So, Zahid, I've got you after Brian then. So I've got Wolf Ulrich coming in after Thomas and Zahid after Brian.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Maria. I just wanted to support and thank Jeff Newman for all he has to say, and to reiterate to everyone else on the council that from the NCSG point of view, the reconsideration request was about the process rather than the substance of this issue. So I know that the GNSO Council has varying opinions on TM50 and the scope of it. And really, the issue that we're looking at now and that we strongly support Jeff's definition of the issue is what are the repercussions for the multi-stakeholder model broadly and for the GNSO more specifically. And just to also mention that the NCSG is planning to write to the board to request a meeting and further discussion on this topic, on the process and implications for the multi-stakeholder model. And we would really, we'll make our letter available to other members of the community and really encourage anybody else who wishes to, you know, to either support it or to be involved or to participate in any meeting that the board may have with us if we actually succeed in securing one. We just think that this is an issue that is far broader repercussions than the specific substantive policy issue that initially gave rise to it. Thank you.
I've just got one quick clarification question for you so that we get this on the record. When you talk about this meeting and the discussion here, you'll be talking about the process that led to the 50 names issue rather than, and I heard clearly your support for Jeff on the particular point that we're focused on now, but just to make sure what you propose to talk to the board about the other process, if you like, and that is that led to the decision that preceded this reconsideration.
I should be a little more clear than I was. Thank you. Our request to the board for a further discussion is really about what is the board's role in respect to the reconsideration request, and not particularly even the policy, the sort of off-road policy process that led to the TM50 decision. We really are focusing in on the reconsideration request. How and what the implications are for the multi-stakeholder process.
Okay, that's helpful. So that's more in and around item part two of item six in our agenda, and the NCSG will be taking that up themselves as well as any action that the council takes. Okay, next in the queue I've got is John Berard.
I hope that the connection works, but I just want to confirm something Jeff said, that for some period of time and for some great number of requests that none have ever been granted. Can you remind me, Jeff, of the particulars there? It sounds rather startling that there would be that number of different kinds of requests from different members of the community and that none would rise to the level of being granted.
I went back the last 10 years. And I could have gone back more because I think all of them were rejected prior to that as well. But yes, in the last 10 years, there's been 15 decisions. There were a few reconsideration requests that were filed, very few, that were withdrawn. Not sure what the reasons why they were withdrawn. But the ones that actually came to a decision, which was probably all but two of them, every one of them was denied. And even the one where they actually ended up changing the bylaws, the request was, quote, denied without merit, but they made a change to the bylaws anyway. So it shows, again, kind of the overly legalistic attitude and approach that's taken to the reconsideration request. Again, instead of saying, oops, we made a mistake, or sorry, we made a mistake, it's, no, we were completely right. We didn't make a mistake. We never make mistakes, but we're going to make this change anyway. So that's indicative of what's happened.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, I would be in favor of moving forward for clarity's sake. Personally, I both understand and am concerned about the executification of ICANN decision making, but. It might be that some of our time in Durban needs to be devoted to a substantive discussion on that matter with members of the staff and the executive.
Thanks, John. So really, just to capture that, I mean, Jeff's existing proposal is that that the council makes a representation in and around part two of item six to the ATRT to John, I hear another a supplementary proposal that this is a topic of discussion in Durban with either board and or senior staff.
They consider it a supplemental proposal, but really it's, I'm just casting my vote that this is something that I think the council should be devoting some time and effort to.
Yeah, and I hear you on that, John. Thank you. Alan.
Thank you very much. It's Alan Greenberg speaking. I'm going to be a little careful on what hat I'm wearing or which hats I'm wearing when I make these comments. The first one is as the only person on the meeting today who is a member of the ATRT, and I'm speaking not on their behalf because obviously I haven't consulted with anyone, but I would strongly suggest that Jeff or any other counselors who feel strongly about this make a submission to the public comment form or directly to the ATRT or a member of the ATRT for distribution. And I would recommend the same if either any of the constituency stakeholder groups or the council itself decides to act on this, to put something in writing. It's really important. And lastly, the council will be having a meeting with the ATRT in Durban. If this is an important issue, make sure it's discussed. So I want to highlight that. The ATRT can only work if people make presentations and present the issues to the group. The second comment is on my personal behalf. It may well become an AWAC position. It certainly hasn't been discussed to date. On the substance of what Jeff was talking about, there's been a lot of debate whether this particular issue is implementation or policy. I would claim it doesn't matter. ICANN has spent the last 5 years working on the implementation of the new GTLD program. There was an almost infinite number of consultations and discussions with the community. And if nothing else, that sets a precedent that implementation is not the sole domain of staff. Otherwise, they would have gone away, implemented once, never come back, and told us about it until the final applicant guidebook is issued. Implementation may not be subject to GNSO purview under the bylaws, but implementation is of issue to the community, and it cannot be done unilaterally by staff and board. And I think that's a really important issue. We need to get off of the implementation versus policy discussion and simply back to the multi-stakeholder model and what we do. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. So just to make sure we keep this on the track that I would like to, because I want to know and understand the outcomes and the outcomes that the council and councillors support, I heard you speaking essentially in favour of what Jeff was proposing around item 6, part 1, and encouraging submissions to the ATRT if that is strongly felt by the council in and around item 6, part 2. So I would encourage anyone responding to both talk about any views you have on this, but in particular also to comment on the outcome or the action required, which is these two proposals that Jeff has made. I've got Thomas. Yes. And then
Jonathan, just for the record, I also noted that it's not only council but individuals.
Yeah, no,
the ATRT. Thank you.
Understood. I was just focusing on okay. What action or outcome for the council, but certainly I understand that you made that point as well. Thomas Rickard.
Thanks very much, Jonathan. And I have one quick comment and then a question for Jeff. My comment is, and this is what I would like to go on record with, is that I think that we need to ensure that the community is not bypassed whenever convenient. I know that a lot of people have said this on numerous occasions, but I think it can't be emphasized enough that if we allow for the GNSO consultation to be eroded, that ultimately erodes the multi-stakeholder model. And put ICANN as such at stake. For Jeff, the question I have is, are we really fixing the issue if we're just asking for a consultation if some action is actually contravening statements previously made by the council? I guess we're more looking for having a say in or being consulted, and me not being the council but the community as such, whenever important implementation matters are concerned, because as you rightfully said, and Ellen has backed this up, there is no clear demarcation between policy and implementation, which is why people have chosen to flag it policy and implementation. So isn't it rather something a little bit bigger that we're looking for? So while I very much sympathize with the approach, I'm wondering whether we can achieve what we are trying to achieve for a couple of months now with what you're suggesting.
So, Jonathan, can I respond to that?
Please do, Jeff.
Yeah, so I think we're asking for two things. Number one is, and Alan may have said some of it, right, whether it's policy or implementation, it doesn't matter. It still should be a multi-stakeholder process and still a bottom-up process, regardless of whether something is classified as policy or implementation. I don't know where or how the train got off the tracks, but somehow the ICANN staff and board got us focused on whether something's policy or implementation, and if you take a step back, it really doesn't matter. It may matter as far as, you know, what burdens or what processes need to be followed in getting to a decision, but it shouldn't matter with respect to the multi-stakeholder process. So, yeah, that's something that I think is bigger. But in this instance, when you're talking about a bylaw change, I don't want to go on record and saying that whatever the GNSO says has to be adopted by the ICANN board no matter what. I think that's kind of foolish, and I don't think that's right either. But I do think that just as the board has a requirement in the bylaws to consult with the GAC, and I chose my words carefully, I actually use the exact words that are in the bylaws with respect to what the board owes to the GAC in cases where it takes an act, where the board makes a decision or will make a decision that is not consistent with GAC advice. I think the same respect should be shown to the GNSO, since the GNSO is not merely an advisory body, but is the party charged with, and I quoted the words, is responsible for the development of substantive policies with respect to GTLDs. I think the board needs to show that same respect and consult with the GNSO community if it's going to take an action that's not consistent with GAC advice, oops, sorry, with the GNSO, whether we call it advice, whether we call it a policy statement, whether we call it an act, whatever we call it. I just don't want to see it limited, as the Board Governance Committee does in this decision, that basically the Board Governance Committee says that the only time that the board has to show any kind of respect or consult with the GNSO is if it's an action taken through a formal PDP, and that's just not, that's not right. That's not the way the multi-stakeholder process should be, and it seems like a matter of convenience and, again, not respect to the bottom-up process.
Thanks, Jeff. So there are two proposals, just to remind everyone. One is to strike from the record this existing rationalization, notwithstanding what the outcome might be of the reconsideration process, and two, a proposal to modify and the bylaws. Before I move to Brian, who's in the queue, I've got Wolf Ulrich, who is in between Thomas Rickett and Brian. So, Wolf Ulrich, if you could make your views known, and then we'll be moving back to Brian Winterfeld.
Yes, thank you. Well, I was going to make a similar comment as John and Alan was with regard to the ATRT 2, and I'm fully in support of that, so I can skip. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. Brian Winterfeld, you're next in the queue.
Thank you. Brian Winterfeld, IPC. I guess I would like a little help better understanding Jeff's arguments. From what I've seen, I know we're focusing kind of on the process that happened. I'm just not sure I'm grasping exactly how the multi-stakeholder model is in jeopardy. It seems to me that various stages of public comment took place around the decision, and that the GNSO Council was consulted. So, you know, I think I counted, I think there were 27 or more comments that were in support of this being implementation and in support of the decision before ultimately on March 20th the memorandum came out and made the determination that this was implementation.
Brian, it's Jonathan. I have to step in here. This is very specifically what we are attempting not to discuss. This is not the issue of whether the trademark plus 50 was policy or implementation. That's an issue, you're right. That's been well worked. An outcome took place, whether or not we, various members of the council as a whole, agrees or disagrees with it. This is very specifically about that process then being referred to the reconsideration, for reconsideration, the reconsideration determination being made, and the rationale for supporting that reconsideration determination is the area where the problem exists. And that's what we're discussing here now. So we're not seeking, and it's really important this, that we're not seeking to open up the issue of whether or not the trademark plus 50 was policy or implementation. So that forgive me for coming across you a little at the end, but I really feel it's strongly that we want to focus in on that. So if Jeff can try and remind us, I hope that's clear, Brian, and let me just give you a chance to respond to that, and then and if necessary, for Jeff to say something before we continue down the queue.
Okay, so even though, so the council was consulted, but all we're talking about is the fact that the BTC gets to make the determination for the reconsideration, and that's what we find problematic, because then they're the arbiter of what's appropriate.
Now let me, Brian, if I could step in, Jonathan.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brian, I guess what I'm saying here is not really, I want you to, what I'm doing here is I'm looking at the exact words used by the Board Governance Committee, which will set precedent on future action. Doesn't matter what the substantive issue is here. The Board Governance Committee says, and I'm going to quote from the decision, there is no defined policy or process within ICAMP that requires the board or staff consultation, that requires board or staff consultation with the GNSO Council if the board or staff is acting in contravention to a statement made by the GNSO Council outside of the policy development process. Therefore, even if staff's action here was in direct contravention to the GNSO Council statement in a letter, the bylaws requirement for consultation does not apply, and therefore no policy can be violated. So, Brian, I think what I'm really focusing on here is, like in any legal decision, I guess, where you have not the specific issue, but the law that's being set for the future. And what the board is basically saying is, whatever the issue is in the future, the board or staff is free to do whatever it pleases, even if it goes against the GNSO statement, policy, whatever it is, as long as, even if it's in direct contravention to a GNSO statement, it's free to act, and there's no requirement to consult with the GNSO. That's what I'm focusing on, and not, you know, whether the Board Governance Committee should look at reconsideration requests or whether trademark plus 50 is right. It's really the law that this is setting, the precedent that this is setting for future actions. The Board Governance Committee could have done this in 50 different ways that would have been acceptable. Instead, they chose to make a statement on how they view the multi-stakeholder process, and that's what can't stand. The rationale needs to be thrown out.
So even though the council was consulted during the process that led up to the decision that was being put up for reconsideration, you're saying because we were not consulted as part of the reconsideration process, that's what you're taking issue with?
No. What I'm saying is, sorry, and maybe it's me not being clear. What I'm saying is that the Board Governance Committee is putting on record that in the future, no matter what the issue is, even if they've – so, sorry, no matter what the issue is, even if the board or staff want to go completely contrary to what the GNSO Council does, there's no requirement for consultation, regardless of whether it happened here or not. Because what they'll do is they'll take this decision as precedent and say, well, yeah, maybe we consulted with the council on trademark plus 50, and that's debatable, and I don't want to debate that. But even if we did it there, the Board Governance Committee has set the precedent that we don't have to do that in the future.
Okay, so we were consulted, but what you're concerned about is the language in there that says in the future we don't necessarily have to be.
I am concerned with the precedent this sets that in the future we do not have to be consulted, even if the board or staff want to act in direct contravention to what the GNSO Council does. Yes.
Okay, thank you. I hope I'm not the only person who wasn't completely grasping what your arguments were, so I appreciate you walking
me. If it's any help, I have had the benefit personally, I don't know whether others have, of certainly discussing elements of this with Jeff and others, so I'm a little bit more warmed up, so but I hope that helped clarify it. I had Zahid in the queue next after you, Brian, and then Wolfgang, Mason, and David. So Zahid...
That's right. Thank you. Can I just ask a question before I had a comment? But Jeff, what was that one line you read out that you said that basically says that the board has the ability to be able to override anything? Could you just read that one sentence again? Because I think there was a qualifier there. And the word was outside something. I mean, I may be mistaken. Could you just read that again, if you don't mind? Because I'm not in the Adobe room.
No, I can read it. It's outside of a policy development process. So they recognize, and I'll read it. The governance committee recognizes that if the GNSO council decides something through a formal PDP, that the bylaws mandate that two-thirds of the board has to, vote to overturn it, and it has to be sent back, and there's some sort of consultation. But what it says here is that there's no defined policy or process within ICANN that requires board or staff consultation with the GNSO council if the board or staff is acting in contravention to a statement made by the GNSO council outside of the policy development process. Therefore, even if staff's action here was in direct contravention to the GNSO council statement in a letter, the bylaws requirement for consultation does not apply. Right, so...
Thanks, Jeff. I'm focusing on the words, a statement outside the policy development process, and I'm thinking that makes sense to me because... If it was, they're not saying that they're going to go against the policy development process outcome. What they're saying is that any statement outside the policy development process. But I could be wrong. But let me come to the comment I was going to make, and I'm a little confused. And I think you try to sort of address this. If we're challenging, I think the reconsideration that's taken place, my first question would be: are we trying to review the decision that the board has made, and whether we are an appropriate forum to do that? Do we have the mandate to do that?
Zahid, I must stop you here. Make sure we stay on track.
Jonathan, let me finish my...
Yeah.
Jonathan, I know you tried to clarify, but let me make my comment. So either we're trying to review the board's... Right, thank you. Either we're trying to review the board's decision, which is where I think the outcome will have to result of what we're trying to do, number one. Two... Are we looking at the substance, which is where everybody's concerned? What was the decision? Because if we're looking at the substance, then we've already sent a letter. We've done what we can do. And it seems to me by sort of reviewing this issue again, it sounds like taking a second bite at the apple and saying, well, now we want to say the same thing again because of the decision that was taken by the Board Governance Committee. However, the Board Governance Committee's mandate allows them to take that decision. Are we, the GNSO, in a position to be able to review that decision? And is this the appropriate form? That would be my question. But that's completely separate from the qualifier that I think Jeff read out, which is statement outside the PDP.
Yeah, so Jonathan, if I can respond to that. So
please do, Jeff. You're a little faint.
Yes, sorry. So, Zahid, I am not saying that the GNSO Council should have the ability to review the outcome of a Board Governance Committee decision. I'm not saying that we have the authority to do that. What I'm saying here... And what I said at the very beginning is that the Board Governance Committee, I don't want to interfere with their decision. I don't want to interfere with trademark plus 50. I don't want to revisit the substance. What I want is the rationale used by the Board Governance Committee, the rationale drafted by Jones Day, the lawyers, to be thrown out. Even if the Board Governance Committee just says we adopt the outcome, which is to reject the reconsideration request, but we're not going to adopt that rationale. I think the rationale went way beyond what it needed to do, and the rationale, as it says in the bylaws, is intended to set precedent for future action. So, again, not saying that trademark plus 50 should be revisited, not saying we should have another bite at the apple at that. What I'm saying is this rationale is, in many cases, irrelevant to the decision that they made. It's making a policy statement with respect to how they view the role of the GNSO, and that should be thrown out without consultation. Does that make sense, Zahid? I'm not saying the decision, the outcome, should be thrown out. I'm saying the rationale they use should be thrown out.
Thank you, Jeff. But my response would be, in fact, with the question that I'd asked, in effect, that means if we're going to be looking into the rationale of the BGC, we are effectively reviewing the BGC, because if we're just going to discuss it with no end to it, then it doesn't matter. But if we want an outcome, are we discussing this because we want to review it, we want to write a letter, we want to in some way try and take some action? What are we trying to do here? And that's what concerns me. What do we have the mandate to do this?
So I would argue that the board, I believe the board governance committee did not have the authority to make the statements on the multi-stakeholder process that it made, that it basically raised arguments that were not even raised in the reconsideration request before it, and therefore had no authority to actually issue that rationale. But here's my problem, Zahid. There is no appeal mechanism. There's no challenge mechanism. There's nothing that even allows us to, as you said, there's nothing formally that there's no accountability for the rationale used by the Board Governance Committee, and that's a problem, right? It's basically the ability for ICANN through the Board Governance Committee to make pronouncements that set precedent without going through any process at all, any bottom-up process. The Board Governance Committee can say anything.
I like the last point you made, Jeff, which is that there is no review mechanism for a rejection of reconsideration. But then again, that's not for the GNSO to do or the council to do. That would be for stakeholder groups or individuals who would be speaking to the ATRT. Just the way Alan described it, you should, we need to individually go to the ATRT or file those comments. But it wouldn't be to the GNSO. We wouldn't have a mandate.
There are three proposed outcomes of this discussion on the table at the moment before we move along in the queue. There are three proposed outcomes. The first is a letter which seeks to not overturn the decision of the reconsideration request, but merely strike from the record the underlying rationale because of the problems it presents. The second is to write to and communicate with the ATRT2 team in and around the concerns over the effectiveness of the reconsideration process as an accountability and transparency mechanism. And the third is Jeff's proposed change to the bylaws, which relates to the mechanisms by which consultation takes place with the GNSO. So those are three very specific proposals. So that's what's on the table at the moment. So I hope that helps keep us on that, those particular issues. Wolfgang, you're next.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jonathan. First of all, I want to thank Jeff, because it's really brilliant, Jeff, and I want to thank you very much that you, in a very crystal clear way, come to the real point, what's the challenge here. So it's not that we intervene into certain outcomes of decision made by other bodies. So it's about the whole procedure and the way how the various bodies and constituencies interact in a process, which has to lead to a result which will be supported by everybody. So I think your analysis and all the proposals are very clear and have my full support. With other words, I support the letter, I support the communication with the ATRT, and I support also the changes in the bylaws. And I think both Alan and Jeff had made it very clear. The risk here is that we move in a situation where one body unilaterally makes decision and ignores others. I think this is really a basic point. And insofar, this case could be, has more or has a deeper meaning and goes far beyond the substance of the very concrete case. So it's a very principal question. And as Maria has said in the beginning of this discussion, so this issue goes far broader, and I want to share one observation I have from the last couple of months, that on the one hand, ICANN, in particular Fadi, Tarek, and other people who communicate with the outside world of ICANN, use the multi-stakeholder model as the big innovation and the best alternative for internet policy making on the global level. They did this in Geneva, they did this in various other meetings, on national IGFs, on the World Telecommunication Policy Forum, and so that this is the big point which ICANN is making in the international debate. but at home inside ICANN. So we have not a really clear understanding and clear procedures how the multi-stakeholder model works in practice. And in so far, you know, this has a lot to do with the risk ICANN will take if they ignore the multi-stakeholder procedures inside. That means by moving forward as what is now criticized in our debate here by the Board Governance Committee and others, ICANN risks its own credibility. So that means if ICANN does not produce inside its own procedures the model of the multi-stakeholder interaction, then how they can defend ICANN against the outside world and, you know, using the multi-stakeholder model as the big achievement and the big innovation. So this is really a much bigger issue. This goes to the credibility of ICANN as a whole organization, and we should take this into consideration if we move forward. But once again, I support all the three proposed actions, the letter, the communication, and the bylaw change. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolfgang. I've got Mason Cole next in the queue, followed by David Cake, and then we will draw a line under it.
Thanks, Jonathan. Mason Cole speaking. I just want to lend my support to Jeff's point of view as well. I'm concerned about this. I think in the current ecosystem, ICANN's management has made it clear that it wants to move very quickly, which is good. There is the recognition on the part of the community and certainly on the part of staff and the executive that the PDP process is very slow. GNSO processes are slow in general. That's bad for ICANN and for the community, and I think it works against the staff's desire to be agile and to have a quickly reacting organization. Part of the problem in the BGC decision is this handcuffs, or attempts at least, to handcuff the GNSO strictly PDP work, and that's proven to be very slow. And maybe that's by design, or maybe it's just a non-designed outcome of the rationale. I don't really think it matters. But I do know that we need to improve the PDP to begin with and then set the community's expectations correctly about what the GNSO's role is. So I do agree with Jeff that the GNSO is responsible for policy development. It can't really be any more plainly stated than it is in the bylaws that the GNSO is responsible for policy development for generic names. And working outside that process and going and retroactively establishing new processes with this sort of twisted legal rationale is very dangerous. So I agree with Alan that the matter needs to be brought before the ATRT. I also agree with Jeff that the BGC and the GNSO should try to discuss this directly in Durban, because I'm frankly not sure that it's clear to the BGC what it's done. And Wolfgang is correct that in the end this could undermine ICANN's own credibility to this.
Thank you, Mason. David.
Yes, again, add my support to everything Jeff has said. There's some very, very, the substance of what it means said is problematic. The manner in which it's been constructed, that it is, as Jeff said, legally strongly worded as an adversarial legal judgment, legal brief, that it contains completely innovative arguments nowhere mentioned in the process up to then, which is not certainly not really within the role of a reconsideration request. And in particular, I want to just make it clear to Brian and other people that are sort of struggling with the value of this, the importance. It specifically said that outside the PDP process, the board can in fact ask the GNSO for its advice, then ignore it without giving a rationale and not have to. And that's perfectly fine. We really have to, and also ignore, you know, statements by its own, you know, CEO and so on. But particularly, the role of the GNSO is reduced to only the PDP process and other things strictly defined within the bylaws. We need to. None of us wants to have to do everything via the PDP process. We all understand, as Mason said, that we may need some more innovative mechanisms and so on. And as Alan said, it shouldn't matter whether it's policy or implementation. If it's an outcome of a multi-stakeholder model, it should be. I mean, it doesn't mean what everything the GNSO says must always be accepted by the board, but certainly it must always be given at least the rationale a strong rationale be expected. The idea that we be treated like the GAC, I think, is very important, has a lot of strong merit. But as we move forward, we're all trying to make the policy versus implementation more flexible, to work on ways to deal with it. And this idea that if it's declared implementation unilaterally by the staff, we can ignore the multi-stakeholder model, is totally poisonous to that idea. As Mason says, if we cannot, if declaring something implementation can be done unilaterally by the staff, and the PDP process is the only definer of what is policy, then the whole idea of policy versus implementation will bring everything grinding to a halt. And that's the better outcome. The worse outcome is that it will effectively undermine the entire multi-stakeholder model. So anyway, just want to strongly support everything Jeff has said, and we need to take this very seriously, as I don't think the Board Governance Committee can really have understood the full implications, and I hope that we can certainly convince them to remove this rationale. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Thank you, Jeff, for bringing this to our attention. Thank you for bringing it so coherently onto the agenda today. Thank you all for the way in which you've conducted the response. I think this is a very useful way in which the Council is acting as the conscience of the multi-stakeholder approach. I like what David and Mason have said, though, in that we need to turn some of this into some forward-looking activity. One component will certainly be our work within the Policy and Implementation Working Group, and it's incumbent on the Council to not only act as the one that sticks our hand up and acts as the conscience, but starts to seek to improve and enhance the way in which we do our work on an ongoing basis in order to take things forward. Jeff, as the proposer of this item and as someone who's led the discussion, I feel I should offer you the opportunity, since you've put your hand up for the last word, if I could also let Wolfgang, Mason and David know that your hands are still up, so if you could remove those from the queue, and we'll defer to Jeff for a final word.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the final word, for as others may want to respond, but I guess one of the things that we've talked about is writing a letter. This issue was supposed to be up on the board agenda, at least the new GTLD program committee, because it's only being considered by those that aren't, quote, conflicted. Remember, a reconsideration request, a BGC recommendation does not have to be adopted by the board. So the next step is that it goes to the board for approval, and the board has usually included these things in a consent agenda and approved it, pretty much rubber stamping it. It was on the agenda for 2 days ago, but after some of us complained because it was on our council agenda for today, they delayed it until next week or maybe even the following week. What I'd like to do is, if we're going to draft a letter, I'd like to at least have Jonathan communicate with the board or the new GTLD program committee to let them know that we're going to be sending them a letter and that we want to talk about this issue in Durban, and that we ask them to hold off on making any decision on this reconsideration request until such time that we are able to get them this letter and they're able to talk to us. I know that may delay things a little bit for them, but I just think that if they go forward and adopt this, then we're really in a little bit of a bind. And again, once this is adopted, this will set precedent for further action. So I just want to bring that up, that I'm not sure if anyone from the new GTLD program committee is listening to this call or will ever get word of what happened on this call. I hope that they do. I hope that ICANN staff brings it to their attention. But if, you know, they may not, and they may just go forward with the normal rubber stamp that they normally do with reconsideration requests.
2 points, Jeff. One, I think that we've got a line that's gone off. The one, we are not seeking to. It was very clear in this agenda item and how it was framed. We're not seeking to change the reconsideration request by this. The whole focus was on the consequence of the rationale underlying it. So, but yes, if it's helpful, I mean, I heard three proposals from you to summarise this. I heard. there is a requirement to a request to send a letter that deals with the concerns over the rationalization. There was a proposal to raise the effectiveness of the reconsideration process with, as an accountability and transparency mechanism with the ATRT too, and there was a proposal on bylaws. Brian, I see your comment in the chat that you feel you were in some way unfairly cut off. I will respond to that and give you an opportunity to say something more. In my concern was that we could very easily be drawn into a discussion on the merits of the trademark plus 50 of the underlying issue, which we've discussed at length within the council, within other groups, and it was very, very clear to me, and I apologize if you hadn't had the opportunity to have this made clear to you, but my understanding was very clear that we didn't want to go into that issue, and the issue was very much the consequences of the rationalization. So, Brian, I don't want you to feel that you were in some way cut short. I think we should give you an opportunity to if you have any final questions on this, but there was no intent to cut you short, rather that to just make sure that I, in my capacity as chair, focused on the particular item six and that we didn't distract the council with the previous issue, which was trademark plus 50. I feel we've done a good job of that, so I'm sorry if you feel you were cut short, but please feel free to make any comment on record now.
Thanks, Jonathan. I mean, I think that, you know, Jeff's arguments are interesting, and I definitely understand them much better now, and I did follow what was on the list previously, but it frankly has been articulated in sort of different ways and different times over the list, and even today was presented in slightly a different way, I felt like, than what had been presented on the list. So I was really literally still trying to figure out exactly what we were discussing, and I felt like I was just asking questions, and I was trying to get to the substance of it, and I felt like I'm jumped on before I can, and I'm clearly, I was not completely understanding what he was saying, but it's like we're not allowed to have a free discussion, and it's almost like everything's being so boxed in, and if you stray from, you know, exactly what is expected or outside the point of what people want you to discuss, it feels a little bit like you're being censored or being jumped upon. I was not trying to go off script. I was really trying to understand what we were arguing about and what the rationale was for what Jeff was trying to do, and that's what I was really trying to get at. And if I'm not understanding it, you know, I'm not the smartest person on the planet, but I'm just guessing maybe other people aren't totally clear either. So I apologize if it seemed like I was going off script. I was really not trying to. I was really trying to ascertain exactly what we were discussing and what Jeff's arguments were.
Thanks, Brian.
Jonathan,
for my
this
part,
is
I
I'm not... Jonathan,
who's that on the line? I've got someone on the line.
Sorry, Jonathan. Sorry, Jonathan. This is Zahid. I just wanted to say something. Can I say something?
Please do.
Thank you. I'd just like to echo Brian's comment as well. I think the discussion has tended not just in this call, but even in the last Beijing meeting. At times, when someone wants to say something, there has been a tendency to try to bring them back on track by interrupting what they're saying. And I think rather than do that, once they finish their statement, et cetera, it might be helpful to then explain what is being said. But either cutting them off or letting them not close the discussion that they're sort of engaged in can tend to be a bit of a problem. And it may give the misimpression, okay, that maybe there's an attempt at boxing in, when in fact that might not be. So I would just sort of echo what Brian said. Thank you.
Yeah, and Zahid and Brian, then I'll have to respond because I take that as a comment directly in as to how things are being chaired and how the conversation is managed. I mean, well, I'd say two things really. One, that there is no intent to box anyone in, but it is an immensely challenging job to try and contain a discussion and focus a discussion with both the number of people we've got, the diversity of views, and in particular when it's on pure audio, not in person. So for my part, I apologize if that's come across. I will take your comments on board, but my the challenge for me is to try and keep us on a particular track, but not in any way to box in or restrict the conversation. So that's my immediate response. I'm happy to take it up with either or both of you offline, but you know that's let's pick this up, and you know I'll take it as a comment to continually improve and work on the way in which we manage these things. However, we do have a couple of other items we need to get through, and we've given this the substance of the meeting as was requested, so I hope we have given it a full and proper airing and given more or less everyone the opportunity to have the views that they would like to have heard, and to Zahid and Brian, there was no intent to cut short your ability to present arguments, but rather to just channel the topic specifically on agenda. So thanks for your comments. I appreciate both the critical and the positive comments that have come in. Let's move on then on to item 7, which is the next item on our agenda. Item 7 was to look at the forthcoming reviews of the GNSO and GNSO Council, which is a board mandate, a board initiated review process. And in some ways, the wind has been taken out of our sails by a note you will have seen that went to the council list that indicates that the Structural Improvements Committee of the board is thinking of pushing these reviews out somewhat, and they are not quite as imminent as our interpretation of them was. So really the question I've got for the council is, what, if any, work should we be doing? And if you'll remember in Beijing, we began to anticipate that and consider the council doing some work of its own, partly on the back of a suggestion by, I think it was Bruce Tonkin, is that this has been done, that any body being reviewed consider undertaking some review work of its own. I can see some value in doing that still. Notwithstanding the note we've received, it may shape slightly what we do, but I wouldn't mind any comment from councillors or any input, and if there's none now, I'd certainly encourage you to pick it up on list, but let me pause for a moment and see if there is any comment or input on the... Okay, so Jeff says he hasn't seen that note. I thought I forwarded to the council. Can anyone confirm for me that they have seen it on the council list? No one's seen anything. I thought I sent something. I apologize. Essentially, what was said, and I'm going to have to dig this out of my email then if it hasn't been sent, but I received something very recently. It wasn't from the Structure Improvements Committee. Let me just... dig it out and see. Essentially, it indicated where we were given. The note was indicated that the reviews were likely to be delayed by a number of months, if not up to a year. So, I apologize if that hasn't been sent. I did think it had been sent.
Jonathan, this is Rob. I'm happy to read it out. I found a copy in my inbox.
Rob, that would be helpful to save me trying to multitask and dig through it. So if you could read it out, that would be very happy. That would be very helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. This is a brief note to the GNSO chair and vice chairs from Larissa Gernick. She is working with Denise Michelle on the organizational review efforts for the Structural Improvements Committee. The note reads, "Dear GNSO chairs, the Board Structural Improvements Committee is considering postponing the GNSO review, parenthetically here, potentially for a year, close parens, while it evaluates options for streamlining the organizational review process and considers relevant discussions involving development of a new ICANN strategic plan. The Structural Improvements Committee expects to make a recommendation to the board in Durban, and staff will keep you apprised of these developments. End of note from Larissa.
Thank you, Rob. So what we've got is a pretty good indication of the likelihood of delay that we were anticipating. So really the question, this may be, I thought councillors were better prepared on the back of having seen that email, but the question in my mind is, what, if anything, do we do to anticipate the forthcoming review, given where we were at, which was anticipating that such a review would kick off later in this calendar year, and we're now getting a pretty strong indication that that may be as far as a year away. Is there anything that the council can do to undertake as far as our own review work of our own procedures or our own performance, or more broadly that to do with a GNSO review in advance of that? And there's really two options. We either decide that we would like to continue down a path of doing some of our own work, or delay even that decision until we've heard more in Durban. John Berard, I see your hand is up.
Thank you, Jonathan. I look forward. I mean, we're going to be in Durban in a month. I mean, I think it's certainly am anxious to hear what the Structural Improvements Committee has to say. But I think even if you look no further than the earlier conversation we had about that Jeff instigated, that there are probably matters that we are concerned about that deserve our attention now. I'm not so much concerned about when the thing starts as when it finishes, I do think that there's plenty for us to jump into without having to rely on word from the Structural Improvements Committee. So I would suggest that we the council move forward in assessing what we think ought to derive from a review, at least scoping out the issues that we want to address and then begin to deal with them. And then bolt it to the overall program once it does get underway, and then reserve our decision until Durban as to whether we agree that it should be delayed at all.
Well, John, just my understanding is, just to be clear, notwithstanding the first point you made, it's not in our purview to initiate the review. We might have an opinion as to whether or not it should be delayed, but it is a board-initiated review that comes from the bylaws. So we have the opportunity to anticipate that review, and as I think Bruce suggested, and as others have picked up, we have the opportunity to undertake a form of review of our own that anticipates that review and does a self-review, and that's the issue at stake, is really what action, if any, do we take in anticipation of a review, whether it's to take place in a relatively short time or, as it now appears, a relatively longer time down the track. I think there's new information here, so clearly this is something which councillors will want to think about, and we can cover this potentially as part of our agenda in Durban as well. I see no other hands now. I'll make sure that the note is forwarded to the list, and then we can continue the discussion as to what, if any, activity the council should take in advance of Durban, in Durban, and beyond.
Jonathan, this is John. Do you think we could at least on the list have a discussion of what we think what issues ought to be on the issues that we should consider to review, at least within the scope of the GNSO Council?
You mean now or in that discussion?
To have the conversation online over the next month so that when we get to Durban, we've got some collective sense of where we think our effort ought to be focused.
Yeah, and I think I can help there. I've had some helpful links being provided to me in discussions with Bruce and own work, so I will send those to the list as to what was done previously And I think that will help perhaps frame the discussion a little, because I've been thinking about this in the background, and as I say, it had been posed to the previous review and what had gone on there, because I want, if we were going to go down this route, I wanted to appraise myself of that. One other thing that I'd like councillors to think about, and whether you strongly agree with, disagree with, or are neutral on, is whether we, I mean, what typically happens in a board type situation is that there is, and I think the ICANN board has undertaken some of this type of work itself, is whether we review our own performance via some kind of, as councillors, in addition, when I started to think about review work, many of us think about review of processes, some think about review of structures, and it's quite clear that from all of our discussions that there seems to be a desire to improve potentially the efficiency with which we work and the throughput. One of them might be, you know, on the quality of our work and the quality of how we work with one another. So that's something to think about as well, because that is standard in any kind of review of board that I'm aware of, is that there is some form of review of the individuals themselves and some kind of feedback as to individual performances as well. So that's something to think about, whether that could form part of a self-review. Wolf Ulrich.
Thanks, Jonathan. Well, that is a question comes to my mind, you know, when I just hear that about that note. So it brings me the feeling, you know, that now, if that is spread over ICANN, this information, everybody is going to relax from that item. That means who really has an interest right now to start any kind of review of the GNSO? Maybe internally, maybe, let me say, a little bit followed by others. I don't think that the board has an interest right now. So if that is, it comes up that we are doing this one, you know, the work we have to do with a review will end with some recommendations which have to be accepted by others as well. So in order to not just to fine-tune our work. So fine-tuning is what you can do every time, but if it comes to some structural or bylaw related modifications, so others have to decide. And why should they have right now the interest to think about that when a decision has been taken or may have been taken in the future? We will hear that in Durban, that the GNSO review is going to postpone. Just a question from my point of view.
Okay, thanks. Well, thanks, Wolf Ulrich. Let's pick this up then further on list and potentially in Durban as well. The next item is item 8, which is an update on discussion on the user experience of active variant TLDs and the IDN letter to the board. In fact, the letter to the board, Ching dealt with under the action items, and so that's really been removed, in effect, from a need to discuss that now. We've covered that much earlier on in the agenda. The second thing is this question that the request of the SOs and ACs to provide staff with any input or guidance on the implementation recommendations. Now, I suspect that some of this activity is happening in the separate groups. The question for the council is, and I'd welcome any input on this, is there anything that the council itself wishes to do in response to this request from the board, or do we think this is better handled in the different groups that make up the GNSO and therefore the council? Ching.
Thanks, Jonathan. Just my personal observation here about this implementation request from the board how the ICANN staff should implement this user experience report. It seems that from the reading of the recommendations, there's also another paper prepared by the staff it's kind of an analysis towards this implementation plan. What I have found in quick words is that it seems that ICANN itself has kind of hold itself back about this implementation. It seems that they confess, and also they seems to be showing lack of readiness to implement IDN at the ICANN and also at the staff level, based on various of reasons which has been disclosed at the report. And the immediate risk is that because we have already have a CCTLD IDN fast track and the quote-unquote synchronized IDN CCTLD has already been delegated. So ICANN itself and also put us in a kind of a strange and a kind of an awkward position, meaning that if we it's kind of weird if we do things at this point. If we rush to do things, we may do wrong. If we don't, we do nothing, we can also put ourselves into kind of a mistake. So I will urge everyone to look at this analysis prepared by the staff. And and my final updates here is that the registry has already worked with number of applicants on to respond to the board request, which is the deadline would be the 1st of July. So the registry we have already dealt with that. I will urge everyone to get this issue back to your prospective groups. I'm not seeing the GNSO Council will be able to reach any consensus by the 1st of July, since we're only talking about 2 to 3 weeks down the road. But I really hope that each of the stakeholder groups can take initiatives individually. Thanks.
So, Ching, am I hearing that you are proposing that this is handled in the groups and you are advocating that councillors take this back to their groups and that the and ensure that the work is done there and the responses are given and that the council doesn't take any action itself? Perhaps we could even write back as a courtesy and say we think this is better handled by the respective groups.
That's actually a good suggestion, Jonathan. So I assume that you, as a chair, you can simply write a courtesy note back to the board saying that we've talked about this at the council level and we encourage other stakeholder groups to provide their prospective feedback to the board. Knowing the registry has already worked on this.
Okay, I'm happy to do that, and hearing no other comments in favor or against, I'm happy to proceed down that path. All right, I think we need to move on and consider some items in and around the Durban meeting. Really, this is something which we have a pretty comprehensive agenda. So, Wolf Ulrich, in discussing this, we've got a relatively short amount of time now. And what if I could ask you to focus in on where there are questions for the council as to whether items of substance should be added to or left off the agenda, whether they should occur in any particular sequence. So if you could focus us on the questions that you need council input on in and around the Durban agenda rather than any sort of detailed logistics. This is really about items of substance in and around the Durban meeting that we either need input now or in the near future, that if you could flag that. Thanks, Wolf Ulrich.
Yes, thanks, Jonathan. I'll do so. So, let's focus on the weekend agenda, and this is structured in that way that more, let me say, internally discussions with regards to working group items, and this is
is going to be done on Saturday, and the others, we see external partners, Board, GAC, FADI, and others, are scheduled on Sunday. So one major topic is just at the beginning, as we did in Beijing. So we call it in Beijing a brainstorming session right now, but it's more a kind of a session about open discussing substantial items and for our internal strategy. So the question here is, since we have also three halves of hours have we allocated to that, that we have to a little bit to structure, I think, to that. So I would also ask Ralph for input to that session, which kind of items we should touch here. With regards to the rest of the Saturday, so I'm starting on getting in contact to the working groups. Well, there are some asking for more time allocated because they are more advanced. Others are asking, well, to step back maybe. So that's as usual, well, to allocate. I also would like to ask you if you have a look to that, what is to tell me or to let me know what is of more interest of you, if there's something missing, if something is really outdated from your point of view, please be open to comment on that. Then on Sunday, as Jonathan as well mentioned at the beginning of the council meeting, we should really carefully prepare for the meeting with the CEO, with the board, and with the GAC. So all these meetings have been confirmed by those entities and persons. So they are interested to exchange views on specific items on that, but they are also expecting from us that we give them some input in advance. What I'm going to do is, with regards to that sessions, well, I will, after this meeting, put some items on the list for discussion and then ask for additions or removals or what else you might think about is of interest to you. But this is the most important meetings and the question about those meetings. Which is what is still open and not yet inserted is a potential meeting with the ATRT too, and that's what I would like to ask here as well, if that is of interest, because we have been approached well to hold a face-to-face meeting with them. If that is of interest, then please let me know, and I would like to put it into the schedule.
Thanks, Will, for I'd certainly be very keen to hear councillors' support or otherwise for a meeting with the ATRT too. I think we owe a response on that. As far as the board is concerned, if you recall, when we met in Beijing, the board let us set the agenda. We were critical of where we saw problems in and around the multi-stakeholder model, and I would very much like, my thought is that if we do go our meetings with the board and the CEO should, by all means, let's criticize things that are wrong, but I'd like it if we could find ourselves talking about some topics where we are actively taking key items forward, like perhaps the policy implementation thing. It may be too early to talk about that with any substance, but at least indicating where we're headed. I'd like any guidance that councillors would like to provide about our substantive interactions with executive staff, ATRT to GNSO board, with the board, and even with the GAC. Any comments or questions about these, or shall we pick them up online? It looks like there's not seeing any hands up at this stage, but I would strongly encourage you to please provide any input you feel you would like to make. Yoav?
Yes. One small issue I wanted to raise, maybe it's right to have it on our agenda for Durban. We had a discussion in Beijing regarding finding a way to improve our collaboration with the GAC. There were different ideas raised back then of either having a liaison or maybe have a committee of a couple of people from the GNSO and a couple of people from GAC, but practically nothing has been done since, and I think we should try to move this issue further and not wake up in 6 months or 9 months and say, hey, we've done nothing, and collaboration just became worse. So maybe we should have this for a discussion during Durban.
Thanks, Joachim. It's a practical suggestion. I should just say before we go to Wolfgang, who's next in the queue, that I have had some interaction with the way in which our discussions took place were with the board government board with the BGRC, the board governance and recommendation. I'm trying to think of the an acronym, but the group that is working with between the board and the GAC, the working group that is working between the board and the GAC in trying to improve the GAC's overall engagement in the process, and one of that was with the GAC's involvement with the policy process. Marika very kindly and helpfully prepared a schedule of where the GAC can interact with the policy development process at present. That has been circulated to the GAC, so there has been some dialogue and communication going on in the background, which paves the way for good further discussion, but there hasn't been any further progress on this so-called liaison or reverse liaison. So you're right to prick up our collective sort of conscience on this and make us aware that that's something we could still usefully pick up on. Wolfgang?
Yeah, my finger goes in the same direction, and because we had recently discussions about the GAC communique from Beijing, and so it's partly confusing for the non-governmental constituencies in ICANN, and as I was told by a number of governmental representatives sitting in the room, it was done around midnight, so some governments themselves do not understand really what they decided in this very hectic night. But the conclusion from this confusion is that indeed what Dirk just said, you know, we have to have an earlier inclusion of governments into PDPs, and so this was raised several times, but nothing has happened, and Durban is a very good opportunity, referring to the, mixed reaction to the Beijing communique, that it would be interest of governments, not just to talk to the board, which very often, you know, is not the starting point for a PDP, but to talk more directly to the bodies like the GNSO Council, in particular if it comes to a new PDP, to bring positions from the government to the attention of the PDP, and to at least to have a channel of exchange so that information can be transported. I understand fully that one GAC member cannot represent the GAC as a whole in a PDP or a working group, but we have to be innovative, and we have to find channels where we can improve on this very practical level between the GNSO Council and the GAC, a better communication and coordination. And the second point refers to the meeting with the board. You know, what becomes more and more clear now is that the strategy of internationalization becomes a key issue for ICANN, at least for the next 2 or 3 years, you know, with the new offices in Istanbul and Singapore and the engagement offices in various cities. I think next is Montevideo. There are plans also for Brasilia or for Geneva. And I think we should be informed what are the plans for the future and what does it mean for the various constituencies in the GNSO Council. So I think the issue of internationalization should be one point among others when we have the chance to talk to Fadi and the board. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolfgang. That's clearly, I think that's a very helpful suggestion. In particular, my sense is that internationalization strategy is very much being led an initiative that's come in with FUDI. So that sounds to me like one that, whilst it may be appropriate to talk with the board about it, is certainly one that we should pick up with FUDI. I was going to volunteer as well that I will put down a sort of summary of what I can as to how the sort of recent dialogue's gone with the GAC and where we've got to so far, and so that sets a scene as to what options there might be to your first point and how we can actually pick up from where we left. Because if you remember, where we've come from is no meeting in Toronto, a constructive meeting in Beijing, and our with respect to the GAC, and our opportunity is now to build on that further. So, yeah, I'd welcome us getting behind that and making something productive of it. The fact that we've got the meeting is an achievement in itself. Now we have to turn that into something effective. Any other, Joab and Wolfgang, your hands are still up. Is there anyone else that would like to make any comments or remarks about the substance, or shall we pick the rest of the Durban items up online? The ATRT 2, I haven't heard anything there about ATRT 2. So in the last minute or two, I'd love to hear some support for the council meeting with and responding to that request to meet with the ATRT 2.
By support meeting.
I'm sorry, was that a question or a comment?
That was me, David. Yes, I'd support meeting with the ATRT 2.
Thanks, David. Any other comments as to whether this is good and effective use of the council time to meet with the ATRT 2 team? We've had a request for a meeting. I think, Wolf Ulrich, if you can help me here, but I think we have sort of sufficient flexibility in our schedule that we should be able to accommodate that.
Yes, well, I can immediately respond to the request and offer some time slots, you know, so that we could come together.
Okay, well, I think you've got some provisional support. If you could encourage the on list to get some further support, that would be great. We're coming up to the hour, so I feel it's my duty to bring the meeting to a close now on the scheduled time. Thank you all very much for a constructive and a thorough meeting, and in particular for picking up well on that agenda, that the item 6, which seemed to be the substance of our discussion. And I'll look forward to talking with you all on list and, of course, meeting together in person in Durban in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much, everyone, and we'll bring the meeting to a close at this point.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye. Bye.